Good evening. Welcome to another edition of The Earthship. Tonight's Transcendental Voyage. I'm Roy, I'll be your pilot. Ellie, your co-pilot. And Mr. Sean, Ashley Wilson, the in-flight engineer for the show. Tonight, we have the talented Mr. Paul Melhath joining us tonight. Sit back, relax, enjoy the journey. It's your ride. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
Doing good.
So what are we listening to here?
This is a track called Arctica. It's off of an album I just put out called Age of Discovery.
I'm going to take it kind of slow here. Just catch a little bit of the time. That just seems to be the feel for this.
You go ahead.
I like it. Perfect for this hour right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you just lay back in your bed and you were laying there just on your soft pillow listening to this right now, perfect.
That's kind of what it's about, is, you know, just slowing down your pace a little bit. Just trying to have a moment when you can, you know, do something a little more immersive and just kind of make the most out of that moment.
It's very tranquil.
Thank you.
The urge to kill people is leaving me. My stress level's going down.
Right?
No, today was a stressful day. It's feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, it is.
It's very soothing.
This track is actually a little more upbeat for what I do. It's got a little more of a groove going on.
Like a new massage right now. That'd be lovely.
It's like I'm getting this, not a brain massage, it's a soul massage.
Right?
that's what I'm getting. Getting a soul massage.
We have physical massage,
right?
We have brain massage, soul massage. It's all good. Yeah, that's
it's this whole transcendental, transpersonal connection to the music. Mm-hmm. And just gotta kind of go with it. It feels very complete.
Oh, good.
Like there's no empty spaces there. Everything that should be there is there, right when it's supposed to be there.
That's a good sign. Being an electronic musician, that's one of the challenges, is that we tend to get stuck in cramped little spaces, you know, like in a basement or a garage, you know, trying to produce music. And it's easy to get insulated, so you don't know how people are really going to react to when they hear a track.
Right.
I think even in a small space, though, this opens it up. The walls kind of drift away and just drop down.
Yeah, because if all I can think about is a star show, laying out underneath the stars and looking at them and it's coming down at me, that obviously means the spaces are wide open.
See,
for
that's
sure.
Exactly what
for
I
sure.
was picturing.
So you made this in a small space?
Yeah, actually.
But I'm feeling it very in a big space.
In fact, when I recorded it, I recorded it on headphones.
It's interesting you'd say the stars, because I was sitting there envisioning this small space he was in this little square room cubicle, and then watching the walls just melt and stars on the horizon all
right?
the way around and just expanding out from there. That's what I was envisioning right when you said
so
that.
So crazy.
That, I mean, that's sort of the mission of space music, is to create a sense of space. You know, it can evoke the idea of outer space in a way, but really just to create a sense of space within yourself. you know, where you can be a little more expansive and during your day.
Right.
So it's really interesting. I mean, it's something that's very, very mechanical in production.
Yeah.
As far as putting it together, it is very mechanical. But yeah, what comes out the other end and creating that space within something is very personal, and there's really no form to it, but it's all form. It becomes totally the opposite. It's more spiritual on the other side, but it all comes out.
And product. I think the challenge for me when I created this album was I wanted my tracks to be all improvisational. So this track is actually, I had a couple mistakes, so I had to, you know, start it again, but basically from start to finish on this track is basically all improvisation. There's no overdubbing on it, there's no editing on it. It's just basically from start to finish, that's what I recorded at that time.
So this is just completely raw, like you did not edit anything?
Mm-hmm. I did mastering after, but right. I didn't edit any waveforms, I did no overdubbing on this. So I didn't go back and record a part over
right?
the top of it.
This is all just in the moment.
That's the interesting thing. I've seen you play the keyboards laid out, you know, and all the way around him and everything. And it's just amazing because he lays it down and it's just one rhythm, one tempo, one beat. It comes out, then another one laid over the top. Then another one comes in underneath it. And then something else will just kind of drift through, and it's pretty amazing to watch him practice his art.
That's kind of, I guess, like I've always been inspired by some of like the early prog rock keyboardists. You know, like you'd watch Rick Wakeman or even people like Jarre. You know, when they played, they would be surrounded by keyboards. And it was just such a cool sight to see. And they would be playing, you know, one hand on one keyboard, another hand on another, and they'd have a sequencer going, they'd have a drum machine going, and they would just explore that.
I don't think my mind could go on all those places at once.
Uh-huh. it's so not lost. That easy, yeah.
I would get uh-huh. so lost.
God, there's a flash from the past. I remember Rick Wakeman's Journey to the Center of the Earth album, and that was someone I listened to a lot in high school. That was really good. I mean, whenever things just kind of got to the point where you got to shut down, and Rick Wakeman is one of the things I listened to for sure.
So I've always been inspired by that, you know, growing up in the 70s and the 80s, and you know, just to see that they're just surrounded by these cool, you know, these cool instruments, and they just go crazy with it.
Awesome. Did you grow up here in Montana?
I did. Yeah, I grew up here in Billings.
You did here in Billings?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Cool. I'm gonna guess back in the day you probably listened to some Alan Parsons as well and some Planet P.
Not really. Yeah. Not really. I discovered electronic music a little bit later, you know, and actually, like, some of the first electronic music that I listened to was actually space music and ambient music, new age music. That was when I was about 15 years old. A friend of mine turned me on to music from the heart of space.
Oh, cool.
And I'd listen to that every week.
Yeah, there was a really cool album, and I don't know who put it out, but it was called The Color of Sound. And the album, it was an album, and it was laser etched, and you'd put it on your turntable and play it, and when you played it, the laser etchings would catch the light, and there were pictures that changed
no way.
Shape in it. It was amazing. It was really amazing. And I remember some of the ambient stuff like that, and going back to that is a very different thing. I mean, we get together, and instead of having, you know, parties where we're listening to Leonard Skinner or Black Sabbath or something like that, we just be like, we're going to have a mellow night tonight, folks.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of hang out. So where do you go with something like this? How do you market this? Do you have plans on marketing it? What is the market?
It's not that easy, because ambient music and space music, they're kind of niche genres, mm-hmm. really, and so the audience is kind of limited. But
right, you can't just go play at a bar. Or something.
No.
He's all
yeah,
no.
A bar crowd would not really be great for it. But I did a show in December at a bookstore at Barjon's Books here in Billings.
Very cool.
And that it was very appropriate for it. They're kind of a new age bookstore, very spiritually oriented. And so, you know, the mood was very relaxed. It's very much about creativity and, you know, exploring new ideas And so it just worked great for
it. Right. No, I can see that very much. Mm-hmm.
Coffee shops are always good for it. Yeah. Yeah. Booze and ambient music. I think probably if I started playing ambient music in a bar, a typical, typical bar, I think I'd probably get lynched, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I'm picturing last week we had a band on here in Rapture that plays different ambient electronica, things like that. And right away I was picturing this being played live in a planetarium with a laser show.
Mm-hmm. I was
on stage with a nice laser show coming out over the audience at something like the Alberta Bear or the Babcock or something like that.
A nice big field.
Yeah.
And
yes,
that would be the ultimate, a big field with the stars, twilight behind it, nice laser show coming out over the top of everybody. 20 or 30 foggers out there in the middle of it,
right?
So you catch the lasers all the way back. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that'd be so awesome, though.
That's kind of what
I've been... back and just feel the music. You would feel the music. You wouldn't just listen to it. You would feel it.
That's what I've been dreaming about, is more of an outdoor venue. And I think in the future, I might actually go for a backyard concert just to be able to do it.
I think you should.
You know, just because that's kind of what ambient music is great for, is just making an event kind of like a bigger experience for that. So you have the music, but then you also can enjoy, you know, the sunset and, you know, the cool
It would be
air.
So cool if somebody put something together where it was like you had different areas of this electronic music where it was like the more hardcore, what we, you know, listened to last week, and then... Mm-hmm. came into your set for like an hour and just listened to that and then kept on going, you know, every mood of the night. That would be amazing.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be so cool? Something to see for sure.
I've thought if I ever had an ambient music festival or an electronic music festival, it would be great to have the real deep ambient stuff, like really in the overnight.
I like the ambient music.
You know,
festival.
3 a.m. to like 6 a.m. or something like that, you know,
right?
But before that you could have, you know, you have the, you know, like
or when
the trance DJs, you know, people can dance and, you know, have your hip hop people in the afternoon,
right?
You know.
Just,
See, and I'm thinking twilight.
Right?
Yeah.
Right at twilight.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that dark, deep blue just after the sun goes down in the background and the stage there and doing it off of there. That would be really cool.
Wouldn't that be so cool? I would be there for sure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Pick me.
I would totally be there. Totally be there. So when you get ready to do this, let us know.
Yeah.
We can
come
up with lights and sound and stuff.
You mentioned...
We know people that know people that can get everything.
You want foggers, you want lights, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm there.
Yep.
You did mention planetariums, and that for some people, that's like a dream gig, is a planetarium gig. And actually, one of the... probably one of the pioneers of space music is a guy by the name of John Serry. Mm-hmm. And... that's like his primary thing. That's what he's known for, is he composes music for planetariums.
Well, see, and I've never seen anybody play live in a planetarium.
No.
And I know like down in Gillette, you can book your own time in there and book your own show and put it on. If you
want
to charge, you can. And for the different shows, there's one that came around that went to all the planetariums, but that one was like $17 a ticket to come in, and it was just recorded like hip-hop music, and they had a guest come in each week. There's a guest person that comes in, runs the lasers.
I'm giving Christmas right now.
Yeah.
I mean, lit up.
You know, literally, you could go down there, and either one of them would volunteer to run the lasers, or you could run them yourself in conjunction with everything, put on the whole show, and they've got nights set aside, and you can book it out and charge whatever for it. It's an easy gig to set up and do. And the school system owns that. They use their coal money to fund the school system to provide things like that. And one of the better planetariums in the country, actually.
And you have to keep events going in a planetarium.
Yeah.
There's always so many tours you can do in it and so many educational things you can have in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like he said, I've never heard of a live show. I would love to see that personally.
Oh,
I would love to see that.
I've seen it. I've seen a video. There's an artist named Craig Padilla. He's a space musician from, he's Northern California. He lived in Coeur d'Alene for a little while. I think he moved back to California. There's a neat video of him in in the late 90s, something like that, doing a gig in a planetarium, you know. And, of course, they got the lights going. And
we should go do that and video it. We need a fisheye lens for one of the cameras, though.
Yeah.
Total fisheye lens. Get the whole planetarium in there while you're doing it. And yeah, that would be fun.
One of the coolest gigs. If they can get gigs going for ambient music, they mm-hmm. have some cool things. And one of the coolest things was they had Steve Roach in Los Angeles. Steve Roach, you probably heard of Steve Roach. He's probably one of the best known ambient composers around. And they had him playing in a 360-degree dome. So, like, you walk into this dome. I don't even know what it was like. I just kind of mm-hmm. read about it. You know, like, I guess you walk into this dome. It's like this total immersion atmosphere. And he played in this dome.
That's what the planetariums I've been in are like that. They're just a dome.
And I can't even imagine mm-hmm. the yeah. acoustics in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like from just the way it's shaped.
Yeah, 360-degree sphere.
Yeah. That would 180 is pretty common, but 360? Yeah. Right.
I don't even know where you would sit.
My mind can't even think of how the sound waveform is going to travel and then where it's going to go
gonna be awesome.
Before the entire thing just vibrates with one neutral tone where you see God if you can experience it and feel it.
Yeah.
So I guess like...
Exactly. Yeah.
How many dimensions are in this planetary?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Playing inside a 360-degree sphere, wow.
Yeah.
Be careful what you do.
So I guess it would look like Dr. Xavier going into Cerebro.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
You can read the mind of every human.
Yep. Oh, man. Huh.
We just got extraterrestrial.
Oh, wait. That's a copyrighted... theme there. I can't do
I'm
that.
Pretty sure you were not on that.
Okay.
Do 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 do.
Do do do. So next one we got up, actually did something a little bit different this time. Let you pick out your playlist on here for the ones that you wanted to share with us, because this, it does feel like something that is, when artists compose this, is something they really want to share, and it's something really personal. So Sunset.
Sunset. Oh, this is part of the 2013 album called Skyscapes. And when I compose Skyscapes, I was talking earlier how I do a lot of improvisation. And I sat down for a recording session, and just like one after another, I had about five tracks that I just laid down, like one after another, and this was part of that set. Mm.
So where can someone find your music if they want to purchase it?
Probably the best place right now is on my Bandcamp site. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention, my performance name is Cloudwalk.
Cloudwalk.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And the reason why...
Very apropos.
The reason why I do that, one of the main reasons, is because no one can spell or pronounce my last name.
I can.
You can.
But I've known you for...
Oh, I want to hear it.
Decades.
Let me hear it.
Yeah, spell it.
Spell it
yeah. and say it.
Oh, spell it, forget it, forget it. Melhaf.
Melhaf?
Melhaf, yeah.
Can I try?
Yeah, go for it.
Melhaf, okay. Melhaffe.
Oh, you're kind of close. There's no E at the end. And the thing that throws everybody off is it's Mehlh. So there's Hlhaff.
I was so not close.
Yeah, it's a weird German name.
I lost the spelling
Germans.
Bee. How's that?
Now, that, to say it properly, you really kind of have to hack up a hairball and growl at the same time.
Yeah. It's the name is a source of pride with our family, but mm-hmm. it's...
in the true German tradition.
We all love it, but, pharmacists are the worst. You know, it's just...
Well, and if you meet somebody with that name, you're like, oh, relative.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody going to be with that name that is not related. There's no way.
Yeah. I communicate online with other ambient musicians and in a nice community, and it's called Relax Machinery, and so it's kind of this cool ambient music community. And the people from Germany, of course, they said, "Well, we know how to say and spell Melhaf. That's no big deal."
Dang.
Well, let's give a listen to Sunset. We're going to take a little break here and let the audience enjoy some more of this. And we're not going to talk over the top of it this time. We're just going to let it flow. Thank you. stay right where I was. Please don't make me come back. Don't make me go. Nice. I don't even know what to say.
Thank you.
Don't even know what to say. Although I'd love to know what was going on in your mind when you did
when
that.
I'm playing that. Well, yeah. And that's the thing about it. Improvisation is that I don't even remember what was going through my mind. You know, it just flows out, and that's really what I've really been interested in for a while is when you do improvisation, it's not really me that's playing it, you know, because I'm not really thinking through it too much. I'm just kind of there in the moment, letting the music just, I think that's kind of my job, is just to let the music just kind of flow out, whatever it is.
So how hard is it to recreate that live if you were to go back and play that track in front of an audience?
Right?
I don't think I could, you know, because I don't remember what I played, and I'm really terrible at, like, memorizing things and kind of lazy as far as that. That's another reason why I'm interested in improvisation, is because I just get impatient to reproduce things.
Right.
But what I can do, a lot of times what I will do is the sounds that I use and more or less the environment that that I have set up for that song, I can always return to that. And so
it's actually a state of mind.
No, just more like a state of music, I guess. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it could be a state of mind.
It almost
too.
Sounds like I'm going to use the term channeling the music,
right?
Yeah. I guess the way that I look at it is, I'm really interested in the idea that, you know, the music may not necessarily be me or mine. It's there where it comes from. You know, it doesn't really matter, I guess, as long as it comes out. And I guess it's more or less my job is to just kind of be, yeah, like a channel, like an open channel, basically, that my job is to let it flow out.
I mean, it almost feels like everything out there has a vibration. All your tree, they've measured them. Everything has a vibration. Your trees, a river, the wind, the buildings vibrate. Everything vibrates, and it vibrates at different frequencies and makes different sounds, and people have recorded that. And it almost sounds like when I listen to it, it's bridging a gap between the world around me that's making music and sounds and vibrating and what I can perceive. This is almost like an expression of that, of what's happening and in the universe around me.
Oh, wow.
And a connection there. That's kind of what it feels
like
when I listen to this stuff.
Speechless over here right now. You just put that into words he couldn't even do.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. Yeah. It's I think that's one thing that's kind of what I enjoy about the music is that it is it's more intuitive. And so, you know, I mean, it would be really weird for me to say, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to set out to make music where I'm going to capture the vibrations of this or that. And some people do that and they can, you know, come up with really good music. But I think it's just more of a feeling. This is the types of sounds that I like. This is the type of moods that I like, that I like to hear. And at the end of it, you know, if it's music that I enjoy, you know,
it's a very tranquil spirit that you have.
Oh, thank you.
Very tranquil.
Mm-hmm. I can second that. I've known Paul for a long time.
Right?
Very peaceful person.
I mean, traditionally, though, I think a lot of people who really know me, like my wife can tell you especially, I'm sort of ADD. I'm kind of a spaz, you know, most of the time. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm really drawn to the music, is that it's very calming. There's a couple tracks, especially like that track, you know, like when I performed it, but like when I was mastering it, you know, when you master your audio, you're listening to it over and over and over again. And that's when I realized on that last, I was like, boy, this album is really lulling. You know, it's
right?
Like, it's just kind of sleepy. And I didn't really connect that until I heard all the tracks kind of together. And then
that was your slowdown. You know, moment.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm mastering my tracks and I'm like falling asleep myself.
Oh, no. But I love it, though. Yeah. I really do. Like, I feel like tonight, like, I've been having weird dreams and weird just nightmares. And I feel like tonight I'm probably going to fall asleep and dream about some pretty good stuff.
That's
some
good.
Pretty good stuff. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be on some water somewhere, mm-hmm. or up in a mountain somewhere. Just something very calm and beautiful, and Spiritual.
Just so you know, I'm going to be sleeping next to a river again tonight.
I know you're not.
Asleep.
Just, I'm so jealous.
Just to rub it in.
So jealous. I'll be sleeping next to the train tracks. Thank you very much. They're pretty loud. That's not
one,
tonight.
That's one challenge that I'm looking to do in the future is I'd actually like to make an album called Lull and just make it, you know, just basically music that can help people relax, help people
don't listen to this while operating machinery.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
It's so true though, because I have kids, and as they've grown up, like I find that if I play soothing music for them before bedtime, they go to bed so much better.
Yeah.
Calmer, at a more of a peace with themselves, with the world, with everything. Even if their day has been kind of hectic, you know, if I play a little nice lullaby, which is, this is what it feels like to me. And I keep saying that, and I'm sorry, but that's what it feels like to me. It's beautiful. I love it.
Well, you said you're a singer. Do you sing to them?
I do. Yes. Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, let's hear it.
No.
You let the cat.
You're so funny.
Go for it.
You're so funny. I actually love to sing like Disney songs.
Oh, wow.
Dude, so funny.
One of the coolest things that this was a long time ago, I used to take yoga classes down at the yoga center when the yoga center was downtown in Billings. And we used to, our instructor was Catherine McDonough. I don't know if you ever met her. She was a nurse practitioner over at the wellness center. And she used to play, you know, she would play soothing music. She'd play ambient music, and she'd play like chanting and stuff like that. At the very end of the yoga session, you always have savasana.
Right.
You know, where you lay down and your body just melts, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she would usually play soothing music, which was nice. Every once in a while, though, she wouldn't be able to get a CD on the speakers, and so she would just start singing.
It was
just so cool that someone would just do that. It's really special when someone just can do that.
I was babysitting actually like 2 weeks ago, and she got put in a timeout, and I went over and I was like, oh, what's up, baby girl? And I just started kind of singing to her, just like something soft. I actually made up a nursery rhyme about, you know, just all this stuff, and she just loved it, and she fell asleep, and I felt so good. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. So sweet. Love it. I don't know what that had to do with anything. I'm sorry.
That was the thought that was going through my head.
Ambient
music is like one of the only genres where like people are not only, you know, it's not a big deal if you fall asleep. It's actually encouraged that maybe you fall asleep.
No, that's why I'm like, I need a massage. Yeah. Y'all get up back here and massage me.
I went to a retreat a few years ago, and it was put on by a master, Zhaizhang Wu. And it was a Qigong, and he had come over from China to do this retreat. And I never can remember the name of the instrument. It sits in her lap, and they stringed instrument in China.
Uh-huh. It's more like the dulcimer type instrument. I can't remember.
I think it's got 6 or 8 strings.
Yeah.
But there's a whole ritual to playing this, and only certain people are supposed to play them. And there's traditional songs, and those songs have to be given to you by another master to play those. And he had received all of those. And I was sitting there as at this dude ranch in a beautiful log lodge and everything, sitting there in front of the fireplace and stuff. And I'm just laying down there and I'm listening to him. And everybody thought I was asleep. I wasn't really asleep. I definitely wasn't there, but I was listening to it, and it was like, I'm listening to this literally, you know, 4,000 year old song.
Yeah.
That was played for the same purpose. I mean, the song, you know, invoked visions of raindrops or, you know, cherry blossoms, things like that. You couldn't help it. You seen them when it was played.
That's crazy.
From the way it was played. Yeah. But it was definitely ambient music. I mean,
it's meditation, though.
Yeah, if I was to say, you know, this kind of music had roots anywhere, they were tapping into it back then. And it's carried through exactly the same without changing a note all the way thousands of years to today. And yeah, it totally knocked me out of the room, I was gone.
completely gone.
Yeah, that must
have
been
a cool experience.
That must have been amazing to just be right next to the instrument as it's being played.
I
hear it right there.
Yeah, I was literally, my feet were at his feet, laying on
like
the floor.
A little baby.
And I was just laying there. Oh, totally. I totally went infantile on that. I was gone. Totally
so cute,
gone.
Aww.
But yeah,
I like that story. Thank you.
It's been many, many, many moons since I remember that. And the last time I remember before that was my mother singing to me to put me to sleep.
Yay, thank you. You came today and you reminded them of that. Yep. Now I have that story in my head and I love it. It's perfect.
Probably one of the coolest things that came about in ambient music is Robert Rich. This is he's another probably one of the big mentors of ambient music next to Steve Roach. And basically one of the cool things that he did was he's known for sleep concerts, where basically he would play for 6 hours straight. You know, people would just show up at the hall and they would be, you know, I guess bring sleeping bags and, you know.
I love this idea.
He started.
Oh, you stay up for 24 hours and you go to this and you feel amazing. I can see it now.
And he started it out. I think he was like a psychology major. And
gotta watch out for them. They're weird.
Yeah, and it started out as like an experiment. He wanted to see how the music would affect people, and so he would have his subjects come in, and he would play
his subjects
for 6 hours, and then at the very end of it, he would wake everybody up, and then to thank them for coming to it. For doing this, he would give them a breakfast and
eggs and bacon
and play a solo piano concert for them and in the morning. So
please, I want to be signed up. I'm ready right now.
Test
wake
subject.
Up, wake
right
up
here.
Feeling amazing and get eggs and bacon. Hello.
I'll be a research subject for that one. Definitely. Definitely.
I'll ride in your car.
Yeah.
He actually did one. I think he hadn't done one for quite a few years, but he actually did one like in Poland.
Too far away.
Yeah.
Come to Montana, please. I'll go to Idaho. That's fine.
Being from Sheridan, Wyoming, that's predominantly Polish, I'm really going to grit my teeth and not, it's not, oh, it's taking self-restraint to not do a Polak joke right here.
No. Oh, please do.
I can't even do that.
If I tried to do that, I would just sound like Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse or Donald Duck. One of them.
It's easy.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not. It sounds so great, huh?
It's easy on a microphone.
It's easy in a didgeridoo.
Yeah, it's really easy in a microphone. Yeah.
No.
See, now I can't play a didge.
I can't do it. If I tried right now, I'd sound like an idiot.
a didge is another one of those things that it's ambient. It's tribal. It touches something
very
deep. It's the harmonics.
You have that drone going, too. And drones are very, they're very centering and very, you know, especially a didge.
The lower I can get, the better I feel. Like, that's
really?
So weird, but that's my goal. I'm like, every time I play the didgeridoo, I just want to get it as low as I can get it, and it just feels, the vibrations actually feel amazing.
You're killing me. First it's the Polak thing, now it's, no, I'm not even going to go there.
Please do not. Come on, just tell us some jokes, it's okay. Yeah. We'll listen.
Well, inquiring minds want to know just how low can you go.
They know. They don't want that. Ever. I have no boots with fur,
so
nothing.
You can do the whole circular breathing. And can you do the whole circular breathing and just sustain the note?
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's the whole key to doing it.
And actually that's really good for singing, because then you can actually hold a note better. Honestly, that's how I feel about it.
You're going to have to bring it in one of these days.
I will.
Maybe one night we'll just do a show that's a jam session.
I think we need a jam session show going on.
That'd be fun.
I do. I will sing, and I like to. I like to think of myself as a rapper, but not. I'm like a blues freestyler, if you will. Is that a word?
Kind of like more of a Janis Joplin kind of style?
Well, no. I like, have you ever heard of Susan Tedeschi?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I think I
that very just blues, just bring it. That soul is beautiful. But yeah, you're making me nervous, so stop. I promise you.
We'll talk about our guests.
But this isn't
again.
About me. This isn't about me.
Jeez, it's all about you.
Okay.
I didn't do that.
With that, watching time here. Give us a few quick words about Azure.
Azure.
Oh, it's
okay.
A color.
This was another improvisational track. This is actually really cool. Actually, I might demonstrate something really quick here.
I have at it.
This is,
hold on.
You know,
step back.
This is.
Oh, okay.
I have to turn my phone back on for this. But
if anybody calls you, I'm going to send out the FBI to hunt them down for interfering with the airwaves.
This one's sort of drone oriented, and one of the things I use as a track to just sort of lay down the atmosphere for it is actually an app. It's actually an iPhone app, and it's called Orbita. And so if I can
I love your knowledge. You have so much knowledge right now for me. I love it. It's awesome. He's like, this name, this app, that app. I'm like, I didn't even know.
I put a post love online it. On the community that I hang out in, and I said, well, let's see. It's like I noticed that on the internet radio station, you know, most of their playlists actually consist of like a lot of metal and, you know, and deep hip hop. And, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to have to represent for the nerdy middle-aged ambient guys out there. And, okay, hold on. Let's see if I can do this. So, if I can find this app. Sorry if I'm...
Oh, you're fine.
That's okay.
If I'm slowing things down.
We're all
you're still talking.
We're
so
all
we're
used
good.
To people playing with their phones while they talk.
We're good,
and
we're good.
Just a minute, I
being
check my
self-absorbed
Facebook page.
And ignoring the rest of us.
So this
and
is just like a...
Let's take a selfie.
Don't you dare send me a text from across the room. No way.
I do that. I do that. I'm like sitting
little,
there.
This is like a little free app called Orbita. And if you notice, there's a little smiley face in the center of the screen on my iPhone.
I see a dot from here, and then, but I see dots
it
everywhere.
It's actually
a
smiley face.
So it's like a really good touch. If I touch my finger to it, it creates kind of like a little node. And what it does is it orbits around this little smiley face. And it's as if the smiley face actually has gravity, and it's actually orbiting around in more of an elliptical fashion, and it changes kind of in its orbit.
Oh, wow, I'm watching it. That's cool. Yeah, it's orbiting
in
an
ellipse. What is
the
music that I'm hearing?
That's coming from it, so you can see how...
That's the wavelength that's in comparison to the ellipse that it's traveling in orbit around it.
And then I can add more of these guys. And the further away I am, the...
Oh, forget the song. Let's just play with this thing for a little while here.
Yeah.
This is really
right?
cool.
Uh-huh.
We got dots circling around a center like the sun.
Yeah. And then they'll go faster,
creating...
of course, the closer I am.
We're creating music right now.
Yeah.
This is happening.
This is live, folks. It doesn't get any better.
Add a bunch in a group here. And it's just... God, you could almost listen to it for hours, really. It's a really good app.
What is this called again? Intuit?
Orbita.
Orbita.
Yeah.
I got to see if they have it for Android. I hope I will play with that.
So that's sort of
right?
like
a bunch.
It's sort of creating an atmosphere in the beginning, and then I'm playing a couple keyboard parts over the top of it. I've got two different keyboard sounds that I'm playing with that. So, and that was another improvisational track. So,
well, the cool thing about it is once you create that, I don't see any way anybody could really recreate it. It's totally random. It's unique. There's you're not controlling it. You just set the start point, and from
and
there,
you
let it go. That is really cool.
There's quite a
I
few
like
other
that idea of just random.
Yeah,
yeah.
That randomness, like I can't. You, none of us can do that, but that can happen.
There's a lot of other apps out there that are more like generative music programs, where basically maybe you create a sequence, and that sequence over time will just sort of morph into something different. It just constantly changes, but it still keeps the music feel that you have in the beginning. And
like my lava lamp.
Yeah,
yeah,
almost
lava
like
lamp.
A lava lamp. Yep.
Yes, please.
Well, let's queue up Azure and listen to that, and we'll take a little break here and join the journey. got a listener here tonight that has never been here for the show before, my daughter, who's 7 years old, and she had a comment about this. She came up to us and said, "This sounds like Mother Nature talking."
That was awesome. Thank you, Sequoia.
Yep. I think
and she knows Mother Nature. She showed me all her rocks and all her leaves.
Yep.
She does know Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Aw.
I think she hit that one pretty accurate, definitely. So I'm intrigued by the name of the next one you got here. That is
Approach to Tao Ceti.
Yeah.
And this one just had images of space in mind, and so I had to come up. I thought, well, what would really fit this? And so I thought of Tau Ceti, which is a star. The thing about Tau Ceti is that astronomers figure that it is very similar to our sun in its age and its size. And they also figure that it may have two planets. At least.
See what I'm telling you? The knowledge that he is telling me some things that is blowing my mind over here.
Two planets that I believe it's two planets that may be in what's called the Goldilocks zone. Basically, that's the zone that the Earth is in with our sun. It's the area that's not too hot and not too cold. That's why they call it the Goldilocks zone.
It's just right.
I swear to you, my dreams tonight are going to be amazing. I can't even tell you. I'm excited. I'm ready to go to bed. I want to see it.
So this one's got kind of a little bit of a science fiction theme. And it's the type of music that I really enjoy doing, is basically kind of seeking from one mood to another, one feel to another. And so the music really evolves over the track.
So just out of curiosity, are you into astrology? Do you like the stars? Are you into all of that?
I love astronomy. And
astronomy, astrology.
My wife is really into astronomy. When I first met my wife, she did my chart.
Careful.
What's your sign?
Pisces.
Pisces.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good.
Yeah. So my wife always says, because I'm a Pisces, I drive like a fish. Just, you know.
Drive like a fish.
Yeah. Well, you know, just sort of languid and, you know.
SpongeBob.
If I happen to drift a little bit, you know, it's no big deal.
I love it.
So we're about ready to roll out here. We're going to listen to that Approach to Tau Ceti. I'd like to thank a few people tonight that helped us put this show on. Shure Microphones, for one. They're doing some sponsorship with us now. And Venture Whitewater. They put food on the table and keep me busy during the day and things like that. And if you want to go out to Adventure Whitewater and take a trip out there, mention your ship, you get a discount on your trips. You still got a few more weeks left. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. Wednesday night's open mic there. We'll be doing live recordings for a compilation out there. And then there's live music on Friday and Saturday night as well, so go and check them out. Yellowstone Valley Brewery. They provide us with the beer for the show most nights. Tonight they didn't, because I didn't make it there. They offered. I was running late in chaos
we're
today.
We're sad about that.
We're sad about that. Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery. They keep me covered in ink. Do a great job down there. Guys got a vivid, vivid background. House of Ink, Philadelphia, Detroit, Idaho. Street art backgrounds, you name it, they got it. They draw it, they'll put it on you, and do a really good job with it.
I need a cover up. This is perfect.
Yeah. Lennox Technologies here for hosting the space for doing this, and MT Radio and putting all that together for us. I'd like to thank all those people. And Paul, thank you very much for coming down tonight.
You're very welcome. This was great.
I feel a lot smarter now. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I really do.
Wow.
I do.
I don't.
I do. The knowledge that you brought to me is awesome. Thank you.
My homicidal urges are gone.
Right?
So, and for all you travelers and listeners out there, just stay where you're at. Listen. Don't go anywhere. There's no reason to move. Thank you very much, and have a good night.